Okay, so the top of Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara had gone through a discussion trying to figure out why you shouldn't eat animals right after you shech them, before you flay them and cut them up. And the Gemara had, in its conclusion, after raising several more complicated halachic possibilities, had concluded that it was just arach arach kamashmalan, it's just the right thing to do. And then the Gemara cites several halachot of what I call derech eretz besuda, just, you know, ways of being menschlich at a meal. What we're going to try to do is just analyze the exact nature of it, where this comes from, right? What is the halachic force behind these. But just to go over the Gemara on the first line, really, of Chaf Hei Amud Beis, because Kedetanya, Lo Yochel Adam Shum. How are you doing, Tilly? Here, sorry, sheet. Lo Yochel. There we go. Lo Yochel Adam Shum, Uvatzel Me Rosho, Ela Me Alav. You shouldn't eat a garlic or onion from the top, but rather from the leaves, meaning you shouldn't pull it out of the ground and eat it before, you know, you take the leaves off. You know, you take off the leaves and then you eat it like a mensch, right? As opposed to, you know, just pulling it out of the ground and then you can just, you know, you can eat it while it still has leaves and dirt on it, but you shouldn't do that. V'machal, and if you do eat it that way, hare zeh ra'avasan. If you do eat it that way, so you are a glutton. Or, you're right, you're someone who eats too quickly or too rushed. Kayotzei bo, and similarly, lo yishta adam koso b'vas achas. You shouldn't chug your cup in one gulp. And if you do, you're a guzzler. Let's say guzzler. What? So we'll come to that, right? So most posts consume it's wine. Specifically wine. But we'll see. I mean, then Gemara raises a few others and tells the Tanur Rabbanan shows a kosu vas achas or is a gargaron. If you have your cup in one shot, so you're a guzzler. Shnayim derech eretz, you two sips. That's the right way. Shlosha, if you sit there gulping your, you know, sipping your wine in 50 different, you know, even though here it says three. So that's migas eruach. That's just pretentious. And the Gemara goes through a series of this, but what I want to do is try to figure out, you know, what exactly is the force? What exactly does it mean? What are the basis for all of these halachos, or are they halachos at all? So if you look at the source sheet, so this Gemara comes up in one other place. The Gemara in Psachim as well has this discussion. It brings a story there of people who were eating. And in the middle it says, "My time ashtisei betrays him." Right? Why did the person in question drink in two, right? Two sips, two gulps. So Amar lo, Ditanya shows a kosu vazachas areze gargaron shnayim derech eretz shlosha migas eruach. Because the Braisa says that if you gulp down your cup in one shot, so you're a guzzler. Two, that's the right way to do it. Three, it's pretentious. My time alo adard apcha. So he said, why didn't you turn around your face? Okay, we'll leave that one aside. So you just skip for just a few words. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Iklu, Lebeirei, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Ben Luknaya, Yavule, Kasa. So when Rabbi Shmuel visited Rabbi Shimon, they gave him a cup, and Kible, Bechad Zimna, Veshaz Bechad Zimna, he took it right away, and he drank it in one shot. Amar Le, Lo Savar, Mar, Lo Savar, La Mar, Ashose Kosovas, Achas, Areze Gargara. And don't you think that it's wrong to chug your cup in one shot? So Amar Le, Ho, Lo Amri, Bekos Rakatan, Vyain Chamato, Ukraze Recheva. He said, no, it's contextual, right? Meaning it's different. You have a shot glass, right? A shot glass you can have in one shot. That's what it is. It's a one shot glass. That's what it is. So a small cup. It's different and depends. What type of wine are you talking about? Is it sweet? Right? Sweet wines are, they go down smoother. Right? You can, right? It's normal to drink it faster as opposed to, right, a particularly strong dry wine. It's harder to drink, right? This is a contextual, and it depends on your appetite. So the Gemara introduces this notion that there are certain standards you have to have in a meal, but they're contextual, right? Which sort of makes sense. But
He's not just insulting his host.
He's not just insulting. Well, but not clear. Let's hold that. That's so. Is he insulting himself? So let's see, right? So is this a real halacha, right? Meaning the Gemara tells us you shouldn't do this. And we saw last week that Tosfos says, and therefore if you do it and something goes wrong, it turns out you run into a kashrus problem, not because of what you did, but it just, you would have caught it had you been more calm. So then we hold you somewhat liable, simply because you should be a mention. If you're not and something goes wrong, well, that's on you. But what is the force of this halacha? So several of the Rishonim just assume, look, it's a nice thing to be nice and be a mensch, but like it's not halacha, right? It's whatever. There are things that are important in life that aren't halacha. And, Chazal are allowed to tell you things that are not halacha. And I talked about this a bit at the Rabbi Price memorial thing, right? Price is a whole theory of how Chazal write, but he knows Chazal don't only write halacha. They write good advice. They write all types of things. Chazal are allowed to give you, menschlich advice. And that's what the Miri says. Number two, V'shalulo, lo savala mara shosa goza vazachas reza gargara. They asked him, they said, don't you think that if you drink something, you chug it in one shot, you're a guzzler? V'shivim derech tzachos. And he says, tzerech tzachos is like as a joke or just as an expression, right? Like, yeah, lo amru v'vikos chamua, v'in chamata, v'razom v'are, v'kar simru. But he said, yeah, but that depends in context. Like,
I can hold my liquor.
Yeah, something like that, right? He's saying, like, yeah, very nice, but like, okay, that's if you're having, 4 ounces of a harder... he said, like, was he telling them the actual halacha? Were they telling the actual halacha? Miri makes it sound like, look, they said it's a strong halacha, and he, throws out a few qualifications. We're made, derech tzachos means it's not serious. Like, is that actually true? I don't know, right? Meaning, this isn't a formal halacha. That's how I would take the Miri. It's not totally clear in this one. But we'll see in the next one. Right? But the Miri basically says, look, this isn't a formal halacha. So, they told him it as if this is a hard and fast rule. And he says, look, it's a menschlich thing. And, menschlich things depend on context, right? If it's a, if you're having, sure, it's just, everyone understands that if you take those big gulps, the big cups from 7-Eleven or whatever they have here, Max or Circle K or whatever it is now, right? And you would fill it with, fine wine and drink it in one big shot. That's just like, yeah, it's just terrible. But like, and the Miri says this in 3 as well. He says, "Afalpi shiroi l'adam l'salsel atzmo b'chol midosav." Listen to his words. He said it's proper for a person to, right, l'salsel atzmo, to beautify himself. Right? Yeah, literally, right? We use l'salsel like someone who combs his hair nicely, right? Exactly. That's when Chazal use it. That m'salsel b'saro, he'd spend a lot of time grooming himself. You should be well groomed. Right? B'chol midosav b'nyan achila. Roy lo l'salsel also be yoser. You should try to be exceptionally well mannered. Shol yochol derech gargaranos v'lo yimechazer achar ma'adonim. You shouldn't drink like a guzzler, and you shouldn't be chasing fine foods. El yitzamtzim b'zeh. Minimize it. Kamash efshalo, as much as is possible for you. Right? You listen to his words. As much as possible for you. Lefish masha makir b'tivo, based on what you know of your own nature. Ulefim mamono shuachalos bo, based on your means. I mean, Miri is pretty clear. Chazal are giving you advice on how to be a mensch. There's a value to being a mensch, but this is not formal halacha, and therefore, it's contextual. You've got to. Being a mensch means different things for different people, right? It means different if you're British than if you're, American, right?
Or
Canadian somewhere in the middle. But like, well, look, what flies in New York does not fly in London, right? It just doesn't. Europeans, it was always like, like when I was in Yeshiva, I remember, like, the Israelis didn't wear a tie at all. At the beginning, I would still wear a tie. It'd always be like a few weeks into the year, I'd stop wearing a tie. But beginning, I'd still wear a tie. But when I wore a tie, so I would like, make my tie however it came. The knot wasn't perfect, fine. My Israeli roommate, but who was born in Switzerland, so his family was still very European, right? So his brother used to come. He was a charusa of mine, and he would take off my tie and remake it. And then his brother would see it and would take it off again and remake it, because I could never do it, good enough. Like, for me, I was like, I was wearing a tie. It was Shabbos. It was fine, right? You're Swiss. You got that perfect knot. It's going to be the triangle, the perfect, dimple in the thing. Like, and that's the meaning. He said, look, this isn't a formal halacha. The Gemara is telling you, you should be a mensch. What does it mean to be a mensch? It depends who you are. It depends what you're eating, what you're drinking, and the context, right? What socioeconomic standards, right? What socioeconomic class you're in, right? If someone is, it's It depends. You know, you're in certain socioeconomic circles, so it's a standard. You know, you wear certain things, you dress, you eat, you know, you learn to eat certain cheeses on toothpicks. Yeah, you know, exactly. You're on the dream, whatever, everything. First class, economy, right? Economy plus, right? You know, and the Ritva in general gives you a rule, and this is something I mentioned in the right price share. So why then does the Gemara? So you could ask the question. So then, why does the Gemara make it sound like it's formal? Right? The Gemara says lo yochal, right? Don't do this. Which you would say that also, like don't lo tilbash shatnez, right? Like it sounds very formal. But the Ritva tells you, as a general rule in the Gemara in number 4, that's not Chazal right. Right? He says sometimes Chazal will say usser, which sounds even more formal than lo. Says anachon that he loves suramamish to write odir abanan. Sometimes the Gemara will say usser, and it means it doesn't mean usser. It doesn't mean it's biblical. It doesn't mean it's rabbinic. It means chasidus balma. It means it's a righteous, pious thing to do. Kenyan shamru usser laadam sheyalvim osav below edim. It's like when the Gemara says you aren't allowed to lend people money without witnesses present. The usser lahalas the goy beribus. You're not allowed. Now each one of these you could ask if. He's right, yeah. Right? You can't lend a guy money with interest. Kenyan shamru asur l'shachar avdim shachar avar over base. Or when we say you can't free your slave, right? Again, the Ritva says, even though the Gemara says, and if you do, you violate an isser. The Ritva says, nah, it's just a mitzvah chasidus, right? Like
that's the mild version. Like Chazal will say chayav misa.
Chayav misa. The Rivash has a tshuva. The Rivash says, why does the Gemara say that lashon hara is shaveh to murder, gilui arayos, and shvichas damim? Right? Does that mean it's Yaharik Val Yavor? And his words, right, it says in Tshuva Kuf Ayin Aleph, he says, Lo Allah al das shum adam. Right? No one ever thought Lashon Hara was Yaharik Val Yavor. He said, why did Chazal exaggerate? Why did they do this? Because they want to tell you how bad it is, right? Chazal, you know, this is coming back to the right price piece, because he's one of, the few people who've written systematically about it. He said, because why did Chazal do this? Chazal recognized that halacha isn't the only thing that's important in life. And therefore, Chazal will flow easily from halacha to ethics to manners and back. Right? They'll just do that because Chazal are telling you that life is, it's not reducible to law. And therefore, the Meiri and the Ritva, right, they tell you, right, Meiri specifically here and the Ritva in general say, don't be surprised that Chazal will sometimes make something sound like it's formally prohibited. And what they mean, it's not good manners. Because Chazal's job in life was to give you advice for life, and advice for life sometimes means, you give advice, right? Why do they couch it in halachic language? Because that's what we do, we're rabbis, it's usher, right? Okay, right? It's like Rei Soloveitchik, they used to ask, the story comes up in many different ways, right? But at least one time the story happened was someone asked the Rav, right? Is it usher to do all the weird ceremonies in martial arts, right? All these they have all types of weird ceremonies in addition to the actual athletic component to it. And he said, yes, it's usher because it's stupid and it's usher to be stupid, right? that's how rabbis talk, it's just what rabbis do. I've heard it from different people. I'm not surprised he said it in different contexts, there were many things in life that were stupid. Fine. But that's one perspective, right? That what are Chazal doing here? And in general, that sometimes Chazal are just giving you good advice. They're telling you good manners. It's a nice thing to do. It's important. But it's not a formal halacha. Rashi, if you look at 5, is a bit unclear, right? Rashi says, Matzinu af hatnaim shemlamdim hilchos derech eretz. Right, he's what is this brisa that we find that Tanaim sometimes teaches the laws of Derech Eretz? Shlo yira adam at yira adam atzmo ki yare rather yare adam atzmo al briyot kira avos, and you shouldn't appear as a glutton. Avze hamamar lecho kodem hefshe nira kira avos, and so someone who runs to eat the meat before he flays it, he looks like a glutton. Now Rashi has this ambiguous language, right? Hilchot Derech Eretz. Right, the laws of being a mensch, right, and this is where things get blurry, right. The Meiri is pretty clear. if it's just menschlichkeit, so it's not halacha. So it doesn't fall under the rubric of law. It's a good thing to do. Rashi tells you it's halacha. Right. It's more than just etiquette. It sounds like halacha. Now, you could just say he means like...
He means just the way to do it.
Yeah, right. He could just mean that loosely. But if you look in the next source, you'll see that the Rashi is not clear, but Nativ Olam, this is Maharal. Maharal is a bit clearer. Right? The Maharal in 6 tells you as follows. Hadvarim hasher heim derech eretz. What is derech eretz? Him kol divrei musar. It's all ethics. Shekolal Masechet Avot, right, which is everything you find in Avos. V'divrei Musar, and it's Karim B'Talmud. V'kol Shar Divrei Musar, and all those ethical things you find in the Gemara and everything else. V'hu Hanhaga Yishara V'Hayafa Al Abriot. That is proper acts that are, upright and pleasant to human beings. V'yesh Mehem. He said sometimes some Musar is just Musar, right? Some etiquette and Derech Eretz is just that. The yesh mehem asher im lo yelech behem hu chet v'avon gadol v'tzarech leot nizar behem. But sometimes ethics aren't just ethics, and etiquette isn't just etiquette. Sometimes it's a full-out sin with great iniquity if you aren't careful. L'kach nikru divrei musar shemiyasrim ad adam shel yelech v'derech ra. That's what we call them, right? Musar. Right? Musar doesn't really mean ethics. It means rebuke. Right, because they're the types of things that you have to rebuke people harshly to make sure they don't do it. Va'otan dvarim zachar mesechas avos al shem shma mini musar avicha. K'mo shamar makdamas mesechas. Those are the things in Avot that we say about them. Listen to your father. Ushar dvarim b'shehem yafim v'tovim lo nikru rak derech eretz. And there are other things which are just derech eretz. V'heim harbei ma'od, and there are many things like that. V'heim yidawim v'nitzkarim maseches derech eretz v'kam makos b'talmud. We have whole masechtos about this, right? There's these small masechtos in the back of Avodah Zarah, derech eretz rabba and derech eretz zuta, which just collect a lot of hilchot derech eretz. Lo'ozan ein tzarech la'aseis tamgim yidawim. Those they need no reason because they're well known. She anoe kemin hagash shel olam. The principle is reducible to saying do what people do. be a mensch, right? Be a person. V'karhu b'machalo ki adam kesher ein noeg v'derech eretz b'machal shalosh urav asan hu megunel abrios bioser. Those latter ones are eat like a mensch, right? So the Maharal tells you, right, two things, right? One is that there are derech eretz things that even though they sound like mere etiquette, they're not. They're formally surim, but there are etiquette things that are not, that are formally surim. Which is hard to tell, right? And that's probably fair. Now he says many of those that tell you don't be a glutton are really just the second category. Kamosha amru perakisu adam, but tenor rabbanu ki archeved gulchalim dater derech eretz shul yochol adam baser l'teyavon. For example, the Gemara says, based on the fact that Hashem says, when I expand your borders, then you should eat meat. The Gemara says, the right thing to do is only eat meat when you want to, right? Meaning, when you are in the mood for meat, so eat it. But don't, right, you shouldn't just be, I remember someone once told me, right, his goal in life was never to wake up not fleshik. Right, there's, that's mugzam, right, you should, right, maybe you should go out and buy meat. Right, no, you should take meat, right, from what you have. Yachol yizbach kol bikur. Oh, you might think you have a flock of animals, you just checked it all. Yachol kol tzono, tamalor, meat karcha, meat tzoncha, velo kol tzoncha. Right? So, of your meat. And what's an example of that? Kayotze, bolo, yishadam, kosubas, achat, sim, chasa, reze, gargaran. Ours is an example of that. Don't chug. Right? Tanur Rabbanan shows it goes v'azachas is a gargon shtaim derech eretz v'anhagas mana achila kol fi masher roi l'derech eretz. So the Maharal is pretty clear. He said there are things that you think are just etiquette, but they're formal halacha, and there are which are just etiquette. He said, which is this one? This is the second category. This is etiquette. But if you look in 7, this is the nisbachim to the Seder Eliyahu Zuta in the Mivo. Don't ask me who wrote the Nisbachim in the Mavod to the Seder Eliyahu Zuta. I have no idea, but it linked on Svartia, so I found it. Great. And he says as follows. Kevan sheninna Torah. Once the Torah was given, tzivta b'hardvei dvarim sheyunu gimbahem b'derech eretz. The Torah commanded certain things that are etiquette. Halon Nir'eh, I'll prove it to you. Parsham Yuchedet B'Yetzios Chutz Mitara. Av Shem Yiderach Eretz Lathos Kain. Ugfar Heirel Zer Rabbi Yochanan, I'll prove it to you. Why? Because there are certain things that you might have thought are just the right thing to do, and yet the Torah comes and commands it. Where do we get that from? So he says, the Gemara in Erevin tells you the following. Amar, Imale lo nidna Torah, hainu lemeidin sniyut bechatul. Right, the Gemara says, if the Torah hadn't been given, we could have learned how to, you know, be modest from the cat. V'gezel mi nimala, right? And not to steal from ants. V'arayot miyona, and how to avoid promiscuity from doves. Derech eret. Bitarnagul, Shemafires, Vakach, Boel, and sexual ethics from the rooster, which first, I don't know if this is true, first courts the chicken, and then, right, and then mates. Is this true? Is this true?
Most birds, it's true.
Okay, there you go. So from birds. But what does he see? What does he see here? He says, Klomar, Shayu bnei Adam noagin bidvarim eilu mides derech eretz af belo Torah. He said, what is the Gemara telling you? That sometimes things that you think are just etiquette, right, or just ethics, or just, you know, propriety, despite the fact that had the Torah not been given, you would have had to keep them anyways just because you're a mensch, the Torah transformed them into formal halacha. The classic tsniut in the time of the Gemara meant when you were relieving yourself because you're out in the field. It was particularly important to have a certain level of propriety. Okay. So he said again, he does the same as the Maharal, right? But he's very careful here, right? He says sometimes things which are just derech eretz, right? In general, when the Gemara says derech eretz, it doesn't mean etiquette, it means halacha. This Gemara for him is the exception. How do we know? Because it says Urach Ara, right? Which is a weaker language. Urach Ara is what people do, right? So on this particular halacha, right, you seem to get mostly a consensus, right? Which is that the Rishonim take these particular halachot as being just etiquette. But when they open up the possibility, right, and I assume there was someone who said not this way, right, was that you could have read the Gemara not this way. Because at least other times in the Torah, when you find derech eretz, you find things which seem like mere etiquette, they're not. They're actually formal halacha. But admittedly, you know, in these particular examples, both Maharal and this, you know, Zmachim Seder Eliyahu Zuta, right, especially the last one, he says, I really would have thought that this was straight out halacha. The only thing that tipped me off that this is the exception and it's not just halacha, it's etiquette, were those words, urach ara. That Urach Ara makes it sound like really it's just like, you know, what you should be doing, but not formal halacha. So you end up getting mostly a consensus on this Gemara, right, that all of these Derech Eretz B'Suda are mere etiquette. Mere is maybe the wrong word to say, right? But what the Maharal and this, you know, in this Nisbach here point out is that you always have to be careful. Right? Because when the Gemara talks about Derech Eretz, right, it might not, right? Sometimes it's just derech eretz, it's just etiquette. And sometimes it's not, because, and again, coming back to our price's point, what's clear is the Gemara didn't try to make it obvious to you. Right? It didn't always tell you, lo, right? Lo can mean usser, lo can mean it's bad, lo can mean you shouldn't do it, lo can mean it's not ideal, right? Usser can mean d'oraisa, d'rabanan, it can mean minhag, it can mean midas chasidus. The point is, and this is sort of the, you know, lesson to draw out of it, is that Chazal, the enterprise of Chazal was not just to educate you in formal halacha. It was to tell you how to run your life. And if you reduce everything in life to formal law, right, then you're missing out on large swaths of important human experience. Now, again, within the Nisbach here in Eliyahu Zuta notes, is that that doesn't mean that there aren't things which are derech eretz like that aren't also formal halacha, right? It just means that not everything is formal halacha, right? Some things really are, and you know, theoretically, someone could have said it about this line here. You know, most of the sources don't, but that is sort of just an important point to derive from the sugya. Now, if you did want to put it in a more formal category, so where would you put it? And again, this is a middle formal category, but my guess is what I put in 8. And this is, you know, perhaps the most famous Ramban, Al-Hatera, or at least definitely one of them. But the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim defines, what does it mean when the Torah says, be holy? So he says, what it means is, so everyone just quotes it, it means go beyond the letter of the law. But if you're careful, that's not actually what he says. He's very precise. Kedoshim Tiyu for the Ramban means follow the spirit of the law. Right? There's a slight nuance between that. Right? The spirit of the law, as opposed to just saying go beyond the letter of the law, the spirit of the law means how do you derive the Torah's ethics? You look at the laws that are on the books. I'll give you Rabbi Liebtag's mashal because it's the best. Right? The Ramban's view of the Torah is that the mitzvot are the dots on the paint by numbers, and Kedoshim Tiyu is the picture that emerges when you connect the dots. Right? That's the Ramban's right view. That basically the mitzvot give you an idea of what your life should look like. But Kedoshim Tiyu and Vasisa Yeshua Tov and other sort of overarching mitzvot tell you that the mitzvot aren't the be all and end all. Right? They're supposed to be guidepoints that point you in a direction of the type of life you're supposed to live. So therefore, when we say, don't be a ra'avasan, right? Don't be gluttonous, there's no mitzvah per se that says don't be a glutton. Right? But there are a lot of limitations on appetitive things, right? Kashrus and, you know, arla, truma, who knows? Right? The reason they're there is to hint to you that life is about more than food. Right? So one way the Torah does that is don't eat not kosher. Another way is when you're eating kosher, eat it with a bit of civility, right? Make real, right? Eat in such a way that it makes it clear that you don't live to eat. And that's what the Rambam writes. It says, Va'inyan, and the truth is, I just noted in 9, the Rambam seems to say the same thing, because the Rambam, he never says it this explicitly, but his book of Kedusha, Sefer Kedusha, includes 2 things in it, right? Prohibitions related to eating and prohibitions related to sexual desire, the 2 sort of main base desires of humanity. And the Rambam says, what is Kedusha? Kedusha is putting certain controls on, you know, our base desires. That's what it means to be a holy human being, is to elevate what could be base. Now, Rav Lichtenstein used to point out that there is another position. The Uraim actually thinks that being gluttonous is a formal isser. Where does he get it from? So, leave it to Rav Lichtenstein to find it, right? Rav Lichtenstein says, yeah, so in Ben Sura Moreh, right, the Torah says Ben Sura Moreh is Zolel V'Sove. So then the Uraim says, okay, but the rule in the Gemara is that that in order for a prohibition to carry a punishment with it, it needs to be repeated twice in the Torah. Chad la azhara v'chad la onesh. Right? One is a warning and one is the actual prohibition. So where is the warning not to be a Ben Sura Moreh? So the Uraim says, b'chukoseim lo seilechu, right? Don't go in the ways of non-Jews. Ki derech ha'akum liot zolo v'sove. The way of the idolaters was to be gluttonous and ravenous, right? So Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that according to the Uraim, whenever you have these halachot, don't be gluttonous, they actually are formally usher under the broad rubric of b'chukoseim lo seilechu. Okay. I remember when I was learning Beit, I think it was actually, I'm trying to think when I learned that with the Lichtenstein, but now that I think about it, it was probably on this daf. Because I learned this daf with the Lichtenstein, and I'm guessing that's where I first heard that Uraim. I don't know that that's true, but probably is.
Way more gluttonous?
What?
Way more gluttonous?
Let's say idolaters. It says Derech Ha'akum. I don't know.
I would have said the Masa was slow.
That's an interesting question of whether you can, you know, the extent to which you can learn formal halacha from narrative. The Rambam has a position. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim thinks that you can, right? The Rambam learns from this week's parsha, right? Learns the Isser of Tzar Balei Chaim from the Malach's critique of Balak, of Bilam, of hitting his chamor, and so does actually Sefer Chassidim and Tavkov Samach Vav. But the point is that you can, if you wanted to, construct formal prohibitions, like the Chukosem Lo Seilechu, or the Ramban's Kedoshim Tiyu, like in 8, where he writes, Ra'inyan ki Torah his hira be'arayot, v'achol masurim ve'tira abia ish be'isho v'achila basar v'ayayin. The Torah forbids not kosher food, permits kosher food, forbade illicit relationships, permitted eating meat and wine. Imkain, but that means that Yimtza Bala Taiva Makom Liot Shatuf Bizi Marish Donashav Harba Arabot. If you wanted to, you could be involved in excessive sexuality with one wife or many wives, Liot Besova Yayin Bizoli Basari Lama, or be a glutton or a drunkard, be a Daber Kersan Machal Naval, and speak careful you want, Shlo Huzgar Isra Zebet Torah, because you'll say it's not mentioned the Torah, the Hine Yin of Albashar Torah, and then you'll be this degenerate. Right, but you'll say it's in the under the permission of the Torah. Lefichach ba'akasuv achareisha parati surim chazuzam legamrei. So the Torah said after it listed all the formal prohibitions that siva b'davar klali shenigya prushim in a mutarot, right, and said that you should avoid excess, etc., etc., etc. So just to summarize this, right, you have this line, right, where it says don't eat like a glutton. Is that a formal prohibition or not? The broader question that we've seen is that, as the Maral notes, and this Nisbachim Leseder Leozuta, is that the first thing you have to know is that the Torah, sometimes things which are etiquette really are formal halacha, sometimes they're not, right? And Rabbi Price's point, that's okay, because Chazal aren't only trying to teach you halacha, they're trying to teach you life, and therefore they teach you things which aren't formal law. It just means that sometimes it's hard to figure out which they're telling you because they'll go back and forth with the language on purpose, and that's the Ritva's point in sort of a few words. This particular one, the majority of Mefarshim, as far as I can tell, take the position this is not a formal prohibition, it's just etiquette, which is why the Gemara in Pesachim, the guy said, look, that's only a big cup, not a small cup, right? It depends on the type of wine, depends on how hungry you are, right? He sort of, pushed it aside because this is one of those, shall we say, softer etiquette laws. But even here, if you wanted to, you could argue that this is more formally usher in the way that the Iraim does, where he says that gluttony is a formal prohibition of acting akum-like, or the Ramban, who says it's under the spirit of the law, which is somewhere in between formal and informal. But that's, in general, we looked at some more of these last week, but this whole amud, right, all the way till the two dots, right, two-thirds of this amud, are all different related halachot like this, different derech eretz. So now just to get to some of the details in it, I gave you now with the background that we just said, right, that this may not be formal halacha, despite the fact that it may not be formal halacha, Shulchan Aruch codifies it as if it were, so I don't know if that means he thought it was pure halacha, or he codified things that weren't halacha, I don't know, but at any rate, Shulchan Aruch writes, L'yishta kosav varacha, don't chug your cup in one shot, and if you do, you are a guzzler, shnayim derech eretz, two cups is normal, shlosh areza megasa ruach, if you take three, you do it in three sips, that's pretentious. The Rama says, Miu, kos katan me'od, but if it's very, very small cup, it's a shot glass. Mutla shosu vazachas, the chen gadol me'od. And if it's a really, really big cup, bishlosha arba pamim, right? No one said, right, have a slurpee in two gulps, right? That would be a gargaron. That would mamish be a gargaron, right? I think for a while, right, if you paid, $5 and bought that permanent huge 64-ounce monstrosity, you would get free refills for the whole month, right? I thought it was disgusting to drink that at all, right? One shot, forget it, but b'chlal.
So three cups are gassi ruach?
Three gulps.
Who do you think you are that you need three gulps?
Yeah, I always wonder that, because if you think it's the norms, I think the norms are, wine, I think most people don't have it in two gulps, right? You have a 4-ounce right. cup, but I don't have it in two.
Our wine is much stronger than their wine was.
No, it was the other way around.
So scientifically, that's not...
They didn't drink it the way you drink it.
Yeah, so scientifically, that's not... It's not... Right? They said, you know, some of the Achronim, like the Bach says this, that their wine was stronger than ours. It's not true. Right? It's scientifically almost impossible. Right? Wine naturally caps out about 14.5%. You can theoretically, I once spent like 5 hours researching this, you can theoretically, and they've done it in Italy, breed certain grapes that can get you natural wine up to 18-19%, but it's very difficult. But that's about as strong as you're going to get. But naturally, wines are between 12-14%. That's why that's considered the ideal, right? Because that's the natural equilibrium of wine. The Bach is just apparently didn't know wine
really?
Science.
The Gemara basically makes that distinction.
Or they just look, if they were thinner people, they were smaller people, no, they were more undernourished, right? You know, it was they were more subbed. I don't know.
They also drank.
No, they also diluted it, and
they drank wine regularly.
Right, they drank that, and maybe it got some more syrupy. But fundamentally, wine is wine.
But they made a distinction between, at least the Gemara did, between wine from Eretz
and from Italy,
and from Bubble.
Right, but the question is how? What was the difference? You know, how much is the difference?
Sediment in it.
Correct. Correct, but no. So I'm not sure, but I know that it's not possible for wine to vary too much in terms of natural alcohol content. Why that's true, I'm not. I spent more time than I ever wanted to on it.
The alcohol.
What?
It could be just the quality.
Correct, you're right. It could be also the syrupy things, right? A smooth wine you can drink faster than like. Look, I mean, I don't know. When you drink like the syrupy wines, it's like, you know. And like very very dry wines, also it's very hard. Like a nice smooth, like a semi, you know, like a semi, you could like you could probably drink, you know, quickly. But like when things are too dry, it's hard. And you know, like Manischewitz or something, like ugh. Yeah, you know, what? Yeah. Whew. Okay, you know, it's one of those things. Like it, you know, became. It was how did it become kosher wine? You know, because Jews made it from. The grapes in New York, you know, like, you know, at some point, like some vintner who, like, you know, one of like the early vintners in California, like, you know, Jewish vintners in California was like, you know, there's no reason kosher wine has to be bad, right? It only happened because Jews landed in New York. If they landed in California, people would identify Jewish wine with good wine. It's not our fault.
Or making their wine sweet.
Or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Magen Avraham writes, "Bevas achas v'mishayir ma'ad lo avigargron." Magen Avraham just gives you an easy way, right? He says, "What? When does it look like you're a guzzler? It's not when you drink the cup in one gulp. It's when you know, at the end, there's that little bit like at the bottom of the cup, right? Even if you have the whole cup in one shot, no one looks at you as like a glutton. When do they look at you as a glutton? When you like." Lean your head back and wait to polish it off, all like waiting for every drop to come out. He says, if you leave a little bit at the bottom, like you drink a normal gulp and whatever's left is left, so then you're drinking civilly. It's when you try to clear out the cup in one shot, right? You know, you're having a drinking contest, right? Who can, you know, chug down to the last drop? That's what he's talking about. He says, Aval kishasei bishnei bamim, so you drink. In two shots, whatever, it's not like you have to have half-half. So you want to have 95% in the first gulp, but you don't make a point of clearing out the bottom? Okay, so that's, you know. What? So what happened in the second cup? What?
Isn't he suggesting leaning it over?
No, but he's saying in the second shot. He's saying when we say two gulps, we don't mean you have to divide it 50-50. Right? You could drink 95% of it. His point, he says it's, Mishayir Ma'at, meaning after the first gulp.
Oh,
right, he's saying
leave a little bit over.
No, he's saying after the first gulp. No, he's saying when you do the first gulp, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, what is it a gargaron? When you're trying to get the last drop, you're just holding it like over your head until every last drop comes out, right? That's just like, you know, he said when you drink it, whatever, you know, most people when they drink whatever they drink, right? You finish most of the cup, you finish most of the cup. You don't finish most of the cup, you don't finish, right? He says that's fine. You don't have to worry. You don't have to like figure it out. The point of the Gemara is you don't, you know, try to drain the last drops in one shot. Machta sheket. No, sorry, that's still the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, Kos katan. What's a katan? He says, Beirshu, katan mirvias, mean anything less than a revias. So any shot. Is it a shot glass? You're allowed to have in one shot. That's the point, right? It's once you're getting into whatever it is, 3 ounces, 4 ounces, right? A significant cup. So you have it in two, you know, in two. Amru Gemara, the Ayin Matok, Omisha Kresa Rechava, Mutlush Tosavaz Achas. He says two other exceptions, the Gemara says. One is if it's sweeter wine, meaning wine that goes down easier, right? I assume he's not. Again, he's not talking about the overly sweet. I mean, like, maybe he is. I don't know. I can't drink that stuff. Some people can, right?
Taste change.
Yeah, taste change. But whatever. If it's a smooth wine that anyone can just, you know, like, you know, and this is why you see he's talking about wine, right? You know, water, you can drink a cup of water in one shot, right? Wine is different. He said if it's a smooth, sweet thing, or you're particularly, you know, kreisa rechava, right? You're fat. Fat, right? That's what it is, right?
How do you rationalize that in comparison to Kiddush?
He's saying, like, what do you mean?
Well, you got to drink the whole thing of Vasachas.
You're not drinking Vasachas. What do you mean Vasachas?
Well, okay, but you got to drink the roll of the Vasachas.
Okay, so that's exactly the point. You have 4 ounces. You have two gulps, right? You have one in. You have that's two is normal, right? You have Rov Revias. You know, think about how people do it. They take a gulp. They pour it into the other cup, you know, into the little cups. They give it out, and they drink the rest, right? Like, that's what we do, you know.
They have to.
Or whatever, you know.
They don't have kids there,
or their wife, or whatever, you know, or they don't finish themselves, or they hand, you know, or they give some to their wife, you know, whatever the people do. People don't usually down the whole cup in one shot. He said the Ramah leaves out the heter of being fat because maybe it's only really, really fat people. Okay, I don't know, draw the line. It says the sweet wine also at some level, you know. You're not supposed to, give things over to different people to assess it differently. Now, I would just suggest that even though the Rishonim that we saw went in the direction that this wasn't a formal halacha, Magen Avraham seems to be treating it more like a formal halacha because he's worried, right? He says, I don't want to run the risk of being, you know, not miduyak, right? You only say you want to be miduyak when you're talking about law, right? If you're not talking about law, then why do you have to be miduyak, right? When you're talking about general values, so be that's sort of the nature of etiquette, right? It's a bit more, you know, I don't know, malleable. But the Magen Avraham seems to be taking a more formal approach. He says, "Miun yerli dein shir lakos," but then he backs down and he says, "But realistically, I'm okay with it." He says, "Why dein shir lakos?" Right? Kol afim itikos ayayin or chavas kreso. He said, "Because." No, really, it depends. What's your cup? What's the wine? How, you know, your appetite, your size. He said, really, it's all in the kol katan. He says, nowadays, more than a revias. Why? Because that's what people do, right? People have a 6 ounce cup in one shot. It's normal, right? The point is that he starts off in a formal approach and then he, you know, switches and says, nah, you know, it depends how strong, you know, context. The Machza Shekel says, "Bevas Achas v'im Mishayer v'chulei." He said, "The Kasha of Magen Avraham. How did the Magen Avraham know that if you leave a little over at the bottom, that's fine?" Choram Ma'ish because of Shnayim Derechertu Svas Yeser. Kevin Dekani Bevas Achas Reiz Agargron Shlosha Reiz Migas Ruach. He said, "It's very careful because if two is the ideal, then you know that one is too much and three is one is too much in one shot or too few gulps, and three is too many is right too many gulps." He said, what the Magen Avraham is picking up on is there are other categories in between those. Meaning, what he suggests is maybe there's a different category. There's someone who's quite refined, right? He has it down to a science. He has his wine, you know, in two, you know, significant gulps. And then there are people who are ravenous and, you know, drain the whole cup. And then there are people who don't really pay attention, right? They drink, it turns out it's 60%, 40%, turns out it's 90%, 10%, 95%, 5%. Okay, that person is fine, right? He's not overly refined, he's not a brute, whatever, you know? So, again, you see that this notion that it's, you know, I mean, I find it sort of funny, right, that the poskim even write this much about it, right, because it sounds very, you know, not formal halacha, but okay. All right, let's skip the next Machzor Shekel, we'll go to the Mishnah Brura. You don't see that he paskens this way, right? Bevas achas, v'mishayra filamuat, su'ula v'gargran, or if you leave a little over, it's fine. Shnaim derech eretz, perik shosei b'shnei pamim, v'ayin l'kaman, right? Meaning, you drink it in two shots. Kos katan, hainu pachos merevias. V'kol zek shadam beinoni. Again, this is an average person, v'stam yayin, and regular wine. Avol misha kreser rechavo, yayin matok, nishtan ashir. But, you know, you change the consistency of the wine. The size of the person, So the halachos change. V'mutar v'azachas afil b'yosr mizay l'fiza v'sheich shalanu sheino chazak v'vadei shir yosr m'rviyas. It says, therefore, nowadays, you know, our beer or our wine or whatever, people, you know, whatever. You don't have to worry about it as much. The Piskei Tshuvot in 14 writes a bit more programmatically. He says, look, V'yesh ha-kozvim chen shirim alalu amurim ela b'shtiyah shulashim tanog v'kavod k'yayin u'mitzim t'vim chadomeh. So some people say that this halacha is really, it's only talking about a formal drink, right? Like when you're drinking, you're sitting down, you're having a glass of wine, or he says natural juices. You know, I guess, you know, in Israel, it's a bit more, right? Like, orange juice is very expensive, right? You know, people like, you know, like you have oranges like fancy restaurants because, like, you know, people don't really buy oranges. They buy, like, concentrate. Ew. Whatever. Because they export all the oranges. Fine. But he says, Mayim, Sharmashkot Kam, but he said, soda, water, shoshosim, litzimon, lekakpeid, afil, shosikos, god, lavavasachas. He says, what is this halacha, right? So some poskim say this is about everything, right? But many poskim say no. The point of the halacha is really wine or you know, whatever. Formal drinking. Right? When you're sitting down to have a l'chaim, you're sitting down to have a cup of wine, there's a certain dignified air, right? And if you take your fancy, you know, $300 bottle of wine, right, and then you chug it, everyone looks at you like you're insane, right? You chug your water bottle, everyone's like, oh, it was hot, right? You're on a hike. Right? And, you know, 95 degrees, and you climb down a mountain, and then you chug the water bottle. No one looks at you and says, oh, you uncivilized brute. Right? When you chug wine, right, everyone's like, what was the point of buying expensive wine? Right? So many poskim just say that this whole halacha is very, very localized. Right? It's not that you can't chug. It's that when you're sitting down to a formal drink, right, and there's an expectation of a certain level of dignity, so then don't go chugging. Right? The Kostel Kiddush Vavdala Mutlish Azachas. But now coming to Alan's point, some poskim or many poskim really do say that by Kiddush it doesn't matter at all. Why? Va'ader Abba Mazeh Marech Chavivos HaMitzvah. Because if you chug your Kiddush cup, right, then people won't look at you like you're a barbarian. They'll look at you, oh, that guy loves the mitzvah of Kiddush. Sure, right. At every Kiddush club, that's what I'm thinking. But okay, fine. But that would solve the Kiddush problem. The other halacha which the Gemara had said there, just to see it in Shulchan Aruch again, lo yochal shum o batzo merosha el me'alav imachal ravasan. You shouldn't eat garlic or onions from the bulb, right? But you should peel off, you know, clean it up, take off the leaves, and then eat it. And the Ramah just adds. The point here isn't only these halachos. The Rama writes, what's the point of this whole isser? Don't eat like a glutton. That means other things that make you look like a glutton, avoid them too. Right? Don't, you know, it's like he said, what's another example? Don't take the fruit and like hold it in one hand and just like be chuck it, you know, pulling pieces off, you know, to get it into your hand as fast as possible, right? Hold a cluster of grapes and like, you know, you eat like a mensch. Right? That's it, right? The Rama is telling you is whatever this is, formal halacha, not formal halacha, don't get caught up in the examples the Gemara said and said, oh, I didn't eat the onion from the bulb and I didn't drink my wine. I drank my wine exactly 2 cups. And now I can go and I can eat everything else like a barbarian. Right? He said, no, the point is, avoid being a barbarian. The Mishnah Brura just says, why is it true with the onion thing? So he just says, Peirsh chia hashum halavan shabo mi befnim hu meshubach shabo va'alin ayurukin shalmala gruin mehen hu mechzik ravasin jaso lechol meirosho. He claims it's because the you know, you're skipping to the best part. I'm not really quite sure. I don't know if this is true about onions. But going back to the point from before about Kiddush, he suggests, and this I find very hard to believe, that it was Shabbos motor b'shem chibuv suda Shabbos, that you can do this at a Shabbos meal. This I find very weird, right? Like, what are we saying? At a Shabbos meal, suddenly you're allowed to be a barbarian, right? So I get it for Kiddush, right? Kiddush, fine, the mitzvah is Kiddush. But to say, oh, the whole Shabbos meal is a mitzvah, and therefore people should be, you know, shoveling food in their stomach. It's a bit hard, but this is the But this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, where does it come from? So the Gemara in Sukkah tells you, "Amar Rava Tzurban Rabbanon Delo Nefishe Lechamra Ligme Gmuay." Rabbis who don't have a lot of wine, they should swallow it. What does that mean? So Rashi says, "Migma Ligmuay Derech Svia Mishum Chiva Mitzvah." Meaning they should swallow it in a satiating way to show the love of the mitzvah. Right? Even though they don't have a lot, they should show that they love the Kiddush. Right? Don't like be stingy on the Kiddush. Just drink it. Okay. So again, I'm for Kiddush, I'm willing to accept it. It's hard for me to believe that at a Shabbos meal, we should endorse people eating ravenously. Like, there is a certain message.
I think if you're looking at where it's written in the Mishnah Berurah, use a little bit of imagination. Like, the amounts of food that was on the table then is nothing compared to...
Correct, right? It could just be... Now, so, and that's why I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah would mean that, right? He might just mean,
be disgusted with the way we eat and, that we consider a good manner. That would probably even disgusting for him.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, he's thinking, like, if you have a little bit of food, so on Shabbos you'd feel like a king, right? You shouldn't feel like... it's my last, tomato, right? And only eat a little bit. But, there's no reason you have a 7-course meal, right? Oh, it's Shabbos. I'm mutter to, that's just my guess. 19, the Piskei Tshuva says... He said, this only is in a place where you actually eat the leaves. But nowadays, we only eat the bulb, right? No one eats the leaves. So, of course, we start from the bulb. Like, what else are you, do? Like, what, fine. Skip to the next part of Yudalit. He says, Achila b'derech eres metinur. And this is what you got from the Rambam. Right? V'lo yochal derech ravasanus. V'lochein tov shlo yochal b'yadav el mazlei v'kafre. This should be good advice. He says, therefore... Use silverware, right? And when you are using your hands, try to be neat, right? Some people can eat a sandwich and their hands stay clean, and some people, right? They eat a falafel and just like the tchina is pouring all over their hands, right? Don't sit there licking your fingers. Use a napkin, right? Whatever. I don't know if we need to go through all of this, but his point. What's the point? The point is. Right? The Rama is telling you that these are pointing you in a direction. Right? They're not telling you, this is not the be all and end all, right? You've eaten your onion in the proper way and he said it means be a mensch. That's what it means. He just notes that obviously when the Rama says you shouldn't eat things in one hand and eat them, pull them with the other one, he says that's probably only things that are eaten on a plate. Hors d'oeuvres, that's what you do. You eat them with your fingers, right? The whole point is be a mensch, right? This is the point of the whole thing, right? There are people, Mishnah Halacha says a tshuva about how anyone who eats hors d'oeuvres is pasul eidos because he's like eating bashuk. That's not what it means, right? It doesn't mean, right? Hors d'oeuvres are meant to be eaten, standing up, walking around. That's what they are. It doesn't make you pasul eidos like eating in a shuk.
Why don't they follow this in the shrine?
What? Anyways, similar halachos, right? Shulchan Aruch says lo yashuch prusa v'nechan al gabei shulchan, right? Don't bite your bread and then put it on the table, right? Things like these are all in Shulchan Aruch, but again, there's a certain common sense. The Mishnah halachos, right, on this says that he thinks val derech asher ra mishu kolev pri lechol befiv gung tapuz, an orange, balaz. He says, he suggests that part of this is peel your fruits with your hands, right? Instead of, sometimes you see people take the oranges, bite into it, and spit out the peel. It's like, that's, again, I don't know why we need tshuva for this. This is stuff that Rabbi Wiederman was bang his head against the wall. Because you wrote a tshuva that people shouldn't be biting peels and spitting them on the table. Okay. But on the other hand, some people only listen to you if it's in a tshuva. But the basic part, again, whether this is halacha or not formal halacha, the point is that it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch to remind you, and as the Rama says, that there's actually, let's say, spiritual value to... Right, to capture the possibilities of either formal halachic or not formal halachic to be a mensch. The last thing, which is it's too bad Gerard isn't here because he would like it, I put it here for him because he loves the Meshech Chachma. But the Meshech Chachma reads this back into Breishis, Kedarko Bakodesh, and he says, Yitzchak, right, when he says, "Vayomer higishali v'ochlei mitzed b'ni laman tivarechecha nafshi v'yigesh lo v'yochal v'yovo lo yayin v'yesh," right? Yitzchak said, "Bring me from the food of my son so that I can eat and bless, my soul will bless him," and he brought him the food. So the Meshech Chachma says, on v'yave lo yayin, it's a mercha kfula. Right, it's a special trup, right? It's the double mercha, which has like a longer sound to it. Why? So the Yuan Zora Kadosh Parshas Balak Mishem Hayinuka Upashut Dashosa Kosovas Achas Areza Gargran Shnaim Derech Eretz L'chein Hifsik. He said, why does it have this longer trup? Because if you drink in one shot, you're a guzzler, and two, it's derech eretz. L'chein hivsik v'hevi lo akos shtei pa'amim, sheshazah shtei pa'amim u'pashud. Because it's a kfula, it's a double, to tell you that when he said, bring me the wine, he meant bring me the wine in two shots. Right? Give it to me, and then give it to me again, because he had it in two shots, and that's what Yitzchak did. I don't know what, but I put it there for Gerard, so when he listens, because he's not feeling well, he will see that according to the Meshech Chachma, it's already happened then. But anyway, this was a bit of a lighter sugya, but it's an important one to touch on because of the Gemara. Okay.
Still give the bracha.